The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
All right. I hope not too many of you are angry with me. But honestly, I really believed I needed to share that with our audience. We are not like them, folks. Do you remember after the last election, so many Democrats, so many leftist liberals crying, screaming, yelling about the election, Russian collusion, it was an illegitimate election, an illegitimate president. And do you remember how foolish they looked to us? And remember how we on our side said, hey, the election's over, just accept it. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? I know, Bob, but that was different. Okay. It was different. And in some ways, it's not different. We are not like them. We don't go around in a state of hysteria and driven by emotion. And especially if you name the name of Christ, we have an opportunity to prove to the world where our trust really is. I'm extremely disappointed that it looks like Donald Trump will not be given a second term, because I think he could have accomplished great things in a second term. I am extremely disappointed. But I have not lost any hope whatsoever. None. I haven't lost any hope. I'm not panicked. And I'm not pouting either. Because while I appreciated greatly what he did, what he accomplished, and I've said it on this program multiple times, my faith and trust was never in Donald Trump. Never was. All right, enough. I'm gonna move on. If you have comments or thoughts, if you agree, if you disagree, my number is 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. I love stories that validate the truth of Scripture. And we come across them often. Here is the headline today. Israeli archaeologists unearth ancient oil lamps featuring Christian and Jewish symbols. It's a really cool story. Archaeologists in Israel recently uncovered 1,700 lamps. These are oil lamps. If you saw the picture of them, you know exactly what they look like. You've seen pictures of them. It's what they use for their homes, how to light their homes, and they could carry these lamps, fill them with oil. There was a wick. Anyway, they've uncovered 1,700 lamps with Christian and Jewish symbols on them. Now, not both on the same lamp, but in the same location. 1,700 lamps. Some had Christian symbols, some had Jewish symbols. Now, why is that so very, very important? Well, because the find became an archaeological hallmark after it solved an archaeological mystery dating back to 1934 concerning Christians and Jews in Bet Shemesh area. The lamps provide further proof of Christians flourishing in the region alongside Israelis during the 2nd century AD, which Josephus previously wrote about. However, here's the important thing. However, until now, there was scant evidence of either community in that area. Jews and Christians, Josephus wrote that Christians and Jews lived side by side in this area of Israel, but there's been almost no evidence of it. Quote, the lamps were found in the Bet Shemesh region of Israel near the Bet Natif village located southwest from Jerusalem. We uncovered a water cistern that looked at first sight like many others in the region, but to our surprise, excavation beside the cistern began unearthing massive quantities of oil lamps, stone lamp molds, and figurine fragments, said excavation director Moran Balila. And then there's three other names, and I can't pronounce them. This archaeological find further proves Christianity's presence in Israel, and here's the take home, and helps confirm the historical writings of Josephus. Now, why is that important? Most of you are familiar with the name Josephus. He was a Jewish historian. Now, why is this so important? Because the skeptics of the Bible have been very skeptic about Josephus and the accuracy of his historical writings. The skeptics have said, he was just making things up. He's not accurate. He was just making things up and tell stories. You can't trust Josephus. All right. Now, let's connect some dots. Several archaeological discoveries in the last 10 years have validated the accuracy of Josephus, the Jewish historian. More and more and more proof, more and more evidence that Josephus was not making things up. He was actually recording history. So why is that so important? Because Josephus wrote about Jesus and his miracles. There is very little historical evidence of Jesus and his ministry outside of the New Testament. So the argument from the skeptics is, well, if you don't believe the New Testament, then you don't have to believe the accounts of Jesus. If the New Testament is nothing but a bunch of fairy tales and stories made up by a bunch of people, why in the world would you believe what the New Testament says about Jesus, particularly his miracles and his death, burial, and supernatural resurrection? Do you get where I'm going? Josephus wrote somewhat extensively about Jesus. So if archaeological discoveries validate the historicity of Josephus, then that validates the historicity of Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to say it for about the 10,000th time. In the last 100 years, there have been countless thousands of excavations in and around Israel, countless thousands of archaeological discoveries that pertain to events recorded in the Bible. Not one of those excavations, not one of those archaeological discoveries have questioned, even questioned, anything recorded in the Bible. On the other hand, thousands and thousands of them have validated the Bible. Don't ever be ashamed or embarrassed that you believe the Bible.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
I realize I'm kind of jumping all over today, and that's okay. I got a lot of things I want to share with you. I love that biblical archaeology story that I shared with you in the last segment. And it's true. It is absolutely true. To my knowledge, and I've been saying this for years, and hey, listen, I got enough skeptics listening to this program. If I were incorrect, believe me, they would nail me to the wall, and they should. I do not know of a single archaeological discovery in Israel that even questions anything in the Bible. And yet, on the other hand, time after time after time after time, including this last one, validates what the Bible says. And if you haven't heard me say this, for those of you who have, forgive the repetition. But each one of these discoveries is like a piece in a puzzle. None of these thousands and thousands of discoveries over the last 100 years, which is the modern archaeological period, none of these absolutely proves the validity or the historicity of the Bible. None of them individually. It's like a piece in a puzzle. One piece does not tell you what the picture looks like. But if you got a 1,000-piece puzzle and you got 994 of those pieces put together in the right order, you got a pretty good idea what that picture is going to be. And each one of these new archaeological discoveries is like a new piece of the puzzle, giving us more and more and more and more authentication of the validity of the Bible. Now, granted, most of them deal with validating the historicity, the history of the Bible. Not many of them actually prove the theology of the Bible, although many do. But still, if the Bible were just put together by men, the likelihood of thousands of archaeological expeditions validating every single page and not one of them contradicting it or questioning it, sooner or later, if you are an honest skeptic, sooner or later, if you are an honest skeptic, you've got to seriously consider that this book that we call the Bible could not have just been put together by a bunch of men. It was written over a period of over 1,500 years by dozens of different authors. Almost all of them had never met each other, 1,500 years, hundreds of miles apart, and yet it all fits together perfectly, like a 1,000-piece puzzle. You ever thought about the odds of that? It's basically mathematically impossible. And with all that proof, all of that evidence, there are still many, many skeptics who refuse to even look at the possibility that this book we call the Bible is more than just ink on paper or ink on parchment or vellum or whatever it was originally written on and whatever it was originally written with. And that's why, folks, it all comes down to the truth, the authority of Scripture. And that's why the liberal left, theologically, is so incredibly dangerous, and not only dangerous, evil. Because all we have is the Bible. We don't have a dozen holy books. We have one. We have one book, one authority. We have nothing else. If the Bible is not true, we don't have anything else. But that's why, from the very beginning, now think about this. From the very beginning, and of course you'd have to believe the Bible to believe this story, that's why Satan, the serpent, came to Eve, and he did not try to get Eve to question the existence of God. How foolish would that have been? Of course Eve knew that God existed. God created her and her husband. That would have been foolish. He didn't try to convince Eve that God didn't exist. And by the way, atheists are not a threat to Christianity. They're not at all. The serpent tried to get Eve to doubt the word of God. The authority, the infallibility, the inerrancy of God's word. That was the very first attack of Satan on the human race. And guess what? Same attack today. Hasn't changed. That's why we must stand for the authority of God's word.